Blog Talk Radio.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are pleased to select
Marc-Andre Fleury,
Evgeny Malkin,
Sidney Crosby,
Jordan Staal,
Simon Dupree,
Bo Bennett, Joe Morrow.
You're following the road to the 2012 NHL Draft right here on the Pens Nation Radio Show with Nick Richter.
I do see the benefit of drafting the best available position or the best available player in the draft.
Andy Hughes.
He was on the first power play unit as well. He has a good shot from the point. I like that. I like that a lot.
Ashley Langlois.
In terms of what he's going to actually bring to the team, I guess time will tell. So, you know, it's got the potential to pan out to be something really good.
Ken Will.
I think it's almost just as risky, if not more risky, to take a defenseman who needs to work on skating or anything like that. That's such a fine skill for the National Hockey League. It's such, I mean, that's a game breaker for whether or not you're an NHL player or whether you're in the NHL or anywhere else.
And Joe Depto.
This guy did a nice job in the postseason. It's a pretty high-pressure situation. I do think that is encouraging. The other thing that I think is very encouraging about this pick is that it kind of gives you a little bit more of options as time goes on down the line.
Yes, you can call into the hotline at 347-202-0344. Now, on to the show. Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to another very special edition of the Pens Nation Radio Show. Just 3 days away now from the 2012 NHL Draft that we held right here in the beautiful city of Pittsburgh. I'm Andy Hughes once again, joined by my co-host, Nick Ritter, Joe Depto, and Ashley Langlois. Guys, how you doing tonight?
What's happening,
Andy?
Things are good. Had a great show last night with Joe Morrow, the Penguins' first-round pick. And if you actually missed that interview, you can find it on thepensnation.com and go to our multimedia. Click the multimedia tab at the top, and you can find it under the interviews. You can download it right there. Was a great interview with Mr. Morrow, who's a great guy to have on the show. And later on we're going to have the Penguins' second-round pick from last year, and that's Scott Harrington, another defenseman, as well as Michael Hauser, a goaltender who will be eligible to be taken this weekend at the NHL Draft in his hometown. He's from Wexford. This is actually his third year of eligibility in the NHL Draft. Wasn't picked the first two times, but had an incredible season with the London Knights, and that's the same team that Scott Harrington plays for, so stay tuned for that. Those guys will be coming up on the show a little bit later. But before we get to them, I want to talk a little bit about the NHL Awards. They will be on tomorrow night as Evgeny Malkin is the only Penguin that will be there that is really nominated for anything. He's nominated for the Hart Trophy along with Henrik Lundqvist and Steven Stamkos. Henrik Lundqvist, a surprise to some people. Stamkos, 60 goals. You can't argue with that. A great performance, but he did not lead his team to the playoffs. And Malkin, with a pretty big margin over Stamkos in the points department, which, guys, I got to think that Evgeny Malkin is going to be taking home that Hart Trophy tomorrow.
Yeah, I think if anyone comes close to taking that away from Evgeny Malkin, it's got to be Steven Stamkos, just for what he did from January 1st on until the end of the year. He was just absolutely on fire. But this award is absolutely Geno's to take.
I don't even think, to be honest with you, I mean, I think you can really, really stretch and make a good argument for, you know, Lundqvist or Stamkos. But to me, I will be absolutely shocked if Evgeny Malkin isn't winning this award. You look at the fact that the NHL typically likes to give awards to guys on winning teams. You know, Stamkos was on a team that struggled throughout most of last season. I think that factors into it. And I think, you know, flat out Malkin just deserves it more than anyone else. And that's not really a homer comment. I just think you look down the stretch, you look at the injuries that the team had, Sidney Crosby, Jordan Staal, Chris Letang, all these things, and the team's offensive numbers were able to stay sustained at a very high level almost singularly because of Evgeny Malkin. At some points, throughout the season, he was averaging, you know, point stretches through stretches of time that was even rivaling what Mary Lemieux did in his prime with Pittsburgh. So I don't really think there's a player out there that can say that they did that with their team still, you know, in contention.
I'm just waiting for the NHL to give the award or start to give the award to Evgeny Malkin, and then Jaromir Jagr comes out of left field and then takes it and then goes all Kanye West and gives it to Claude Giroux.
if you out of nowhere, like, you just hear glass breaking and then Stone Cold Steve Austin's music.
No, you hear the glass break and then all of a sudden you see Turtles come out on stage and then Jagr makes his appearance.
Good God, that's Jaromir Jagr's music.
Jagr, best play of all time. Best play of all time.
those award shows will be a lot more entertaining if stuff like that went down.
We got into the Kanye West talk.
just have to get some tips from Vince McMahon.
They
do
have some producers.
Yeah, they do. And usually, I mean, they have good time with it and stuff, but... I mean, when you have Nickelback as your entertainment for the night, maybe like the Undertaker could come in with like a steel chair or a brick, or get those guys from Peru that threw rocks at him.
I would regain a lot of respect for the NHL if like they could, you know what, like Trevor gets signed with the Kings every day, so. If, like, anyway, Trevor or a guy like Steve McIntyre, a player like that, ever wanted to kind of, like, get some kind of retribution in my eyes, in the middle of Nickelback playing, they could just come out there and just start pummeling Chad Kroeger right there in the middle of the stage and then steal all their expensive guitars and give them to me. That's what I would do.
You would never be found out.
No, never. I have this – I got this $6,000 Paul Reed Smith out of nowhere. You know, I got it on eBay. You know.
Give Steve McIntyre some of your AK-47s at your house.
I only have one of those. It's registered.
Getting to the next trophy, the Vezina. Oh, what were you going to say?
No, go for it. It's a Vezina.
Okay. I was getting to the Vezina trophy. The nominees, Henrik Lundqvist, Pekka and Jonathan Quick. Now, you got to remember that these are regular season awards, so you can't really take into the consideration the playoffs that, you know, Jonathan Quick had and leading the team to the cup, because that's not going to do anything. Guys, who do you think is going to win this one? I think this is three, clearly, great goaltenders and guys that I would definitely love to build my team around in goal. Lundqvist, Rene, and Quick. Who would you pick out of those three? That's a really tough choice for me.
For me, pressure. You know, I like you said, Andy, I mean, three great goalies. For me, it's a two-man race because, with all due respect to Pekka Rinne, he had some moments this season where I felt like Pekka Rinne was a flat-out liability for the Nashville Predators. He wasn't consistent throughout the second half of the season, whereas John Quick is really the only reason the LA Kings even made the playoffs to begin with. You factor out all the other stuff that they did during a championship run, the only reason they were even there to begin with was John Quick. But to me, if I'm handing out the award, I give it to Henrik Lundqvist, because for as great as the New York Rangers were this season, a lot of people forget that they had so many offensive issues plagued them throughout the years. They had power play problems. They had even strength goal problems. They had
LA did,
you know,
too.
No, they did. Right. Yeah. There's no question about that. But my point is that you look at – I mean, I just don't think that you can make the same argument for Quick that you can make for Lundqvist. Not from saying even playing. I'm saying from the NHL. And we all know there is something about the NHL where they just don't strictly give it to the best player. There's also got to be some marketability in there. So – I think given the fact that John Quick has already won the Conn Smythe, it would not surprise me to see them go with Henrik Lundqvist. People, you know, are always talking about, you know, he's a good-looking guy, he's talented, they want to keep New York in the spotlight. That stuff factors into all of it. I mean, go back to when Henrik Sedin won, you know, over – or Alex Ovechkin won a couple times over time. You know, and they were kind of controversial in their award selection. I think that's the factors into it. I think you can make a really good argument for Quick or Lundqvist, but I give Lundqvist a little bit of a slight edge.
Yeah, I think it has to be Lundqvist. I think he had a ridiculous year in New York, and just with all the pressure that kind of mounts there in that city, this is a really hard thing to kind of do night in and night out. Quick had a good year, but his team was the eighth seeded team. I realize they won the cup. However, most of that voting takes place well before the playoffs are in full swing, and so had the voting kind of all been after the Stanley Cup Finals, I think you would see a lot of people pining for Jonathan Quick. But I just based off of his body of work throughout the regular season and just how solid he was all year to keep his team atop the Atlantic and and the Eastern Conference, it's got to be Henrik Lundqvist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, we need an explanation.
Yeah, Ashley with her one word. Yeah.
Well, Ashley, yeah. If it's Henrik Lundqvist in your mind, who's second?
Yeah,
I would have to say I would have to agree with you guys, and I would have to say Quick, just because to me, and Joe kind of hit upon it, Pekka Rinne, he ran hot and cold all year. There were some times that he looked great, and there were other times where you were just kind of, like Joe said, he was a liability. You weren't really sure if he was the one that they should be depending on. And Lundqvist, I think you just saw him. He was consistent all season. There wasn't really a point in time where you're going, oh, my God, he is a liability. Pull him. Put Marty Bureau in, or whoever else they happen to have at the time, you know. So if it isn't Lundqvist, I would be surprised. But, you know, you guys hit upon with Quick with the Conn Smythe. You know, it's kind of a gift to me. But if for some odd reason it changed tomorrow night, it was a really strong race.
All right, well, we're joined by Michael Hauser, a Pittsburgh born and raised guy. He's primed to be drafted in the 2012 NHL entry draft. Michael, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great here. Love the time of the hockey year where we're kind of gearing up towards the draft and free agency, and there's just a lot going on right now, and there's got to be a lot going on in your life right now. You're primed to be drafted. You're one of the better goalies in the draft. Talk a little bit about what you're going through right now, how your emotions are and how your nerves are.
There's been a lot going through, I guess, my mind. It's, the season went really long this year, and that was obviously good for us. And so there hasn't been too much time recently to think about it. But, it's hard to not think about it too much with it leading up. And I'm just trying to get my mind away from it and just not think about it too much leading up to this weekend.
How important is it for you to be drafted in the city that you grew up in?
That'd be pretty special. I have a lot of great memories from growing up in Pittsburgh and playing hockey here, and I made a lot of great friends through my time playing hockey in Pittsburgh. And if I were to be drafted here, it'd be awesome. And just having the whole experience in your hometown, it'd be a memory that I'd keep with me for a while.
Does part of you wish that it was kind of in a different city, that you could kind of go explore a new city, kind of be somewhere different, or do you kind of like the aspect of it being in Pittsburgh?
I like it being in Pittsburgh. I think it, brings a lot to the city. It, gives a chance for, a lot of different people to come in throughout the world and see our city and see, what a great city it is, and a chance to check out the new rink there that maybe a lot of people haven't been to before. So I think, and I've got a lot of teammates coming in too, so I'm going to see them in the next couple of days for them coming in for the draft, so I'm looking really forward to it.
Now, you play hockey in London in the OHL with Scott Harrington. Scott was drafted by the Penguins in the second round last year. How much of an encouragement has he been in this whole process for you?
Oh, Scott's been great. Him and I have played together for 3 years in London now, and we're really good buddies, and him going through the draft process last year, he took it, very maturely, and he's played, World Juniors this past year, and he was a big part of our success this year. So he's helped a lot of the younger guys out in terms of, getting ready for the draft and how to approach it, and he did that, really well last year.
Now you've played three seasons with Scott Harrington, so you probably know a lot of dirt on the guy. So what is one thing you could kind of throw him under the bus with? What's one thing that he kind of does that guys kind of poke fun at him a little bit for?
I don't really know too much. He's actually one of the nicer guys that you'll meet. He doesn't do a lot of things wrong, but I guess the one thing is that he talks about how he went to sushi last year at training camp with Crosby, and he always talks about that. So I guess we kind of make fun of him for that a little bit.
There's been some talk about the different goalies in this year's draft, and some teams like New York maybe talking about getting one and everything. How do you feel like you stack up against the Malcolm Subbans and guys like that across the different goalies in this year's draft?
Yeah, I haven't seen too many of them play. Obviously, I've seen Malcolm play a couple times, but he's also in the Eastern Conference in the OHL, and I play in the West, so I only see him play a couple times a year. And I think Matt Murray might get drafted this year as well from Sault Ste. Marie. I've seen him play a couple times, but they're obviously great goalies. I think that, they're going to have good pro careers, and they're obviously showing what they can do in juniors. And, I feel like I stack up fairly well against them, but, it's hard to say. I haven't seen either of them play too much, though.
So. Does being a goalie in the draft come with a little bit more pressure than a different position, say a forward or a defenseman? Because I think when most teams, these days in the NHL, goaltending is such an important thing. So when a team sees a goaltender drafted, I think they kind of look at that as being, somewhat of a savior to a team, or, kind of an anchor to a team. Is there more pressure on you as opposed to a different position?
No, I don't think so. I think that, when you're a goalie and if you get drafted, then, you're expected to, play pro hockey one day. And I think that, if you're not drafted, then that doesn't, hurt your chance of playing pro either. I mean, there's not a ton of goalies that get drafted each year, but there's not a lot of roster spots either for pro hockey goalies. So, there's only two per team. So it's a tough position to try to make each year. But, I just try to go out and just kind of do my job each night, and hopefully that takes care of itself.
Mike, you're from Wexford here in the Pittsburgh area. If you had to pick a top three Pittsburgh restaurants, which Pittsburgh's known for some great food, what would you pick?
I guess Permane's would be the easy choice. There's one out here next to my house, and been there a couple times. Try to stay away from it during the training season, but that'd be the favorite.
Is there a particular, when you're off season training, pregame, any of that? What type of music do you like? Who are some of your favorite bands?
I just pretty much anything. I just like, a lot of the new stuff, I guess. I'm a trendy music listener, and just pretty much whatever's on the radio. I listen to my iPod a lot, and there's, a lot of top 40 stuff, I guess, and just kind of the new stuff out there. Just listen to mostly that.
What's your favorite pregame meal?
Favorite pregame meal? I only have one pregame meal, and it's chicken parm, pretty much. Had that almost every single game this year, so I'd have to go with that as my favorite.
That must be the London team meal of choice, because we asked Scott Harrington that same question, and he said chicken parm also.
Yeah, well, me and Scott eat our pregame meals together, and we always get the same thing.
If you were an NHL scout, what would you say is your biggest strength, and what would you say is your biggest weakness that you still have to work on?
I'd say my biggest strength would be my positioning in the net. I always try to be in good position to stop the puck, and I try to not make too many of the crazy desperation saves. I just like to be in good position and just kind of make the easy save. And I guess if I had one weakness that I could work on, it'd be my puck handling ability.
Who's the better cook between you and Scott?
The better cook? Yeah, Mike can't cook at all. So if he can make anything, then he has me.
Who's got the better golf game?
I'll say me. I've never seen him golf, but I'd say me. I'm pretty confident on that one.
Great, great. Who's the better dresser?
Better dresser. I think we're pretty even. Him and I shop a lot together, actually, during the season, because we live pretty close to each other, right next to a mall, too. So him and I have pretty similar style and pretty similar taste in clothes.
We talked a little bit about this last night. Local prospects like JT Miller, Brandon Saad, who grew up in the Pittsburgh area at one point, were selected early in last year's draft. And I want to know what you thought about that, given that here you are coming into the Consol Energy Center with the draft here in Pittsburgh. Where are you from? You're from Wexford. What kind of a unique experience is that for you, and what does that say about the hockey in the area of Pittsburgh?
it's going to be a great experience. I think, you know, having the draft here, like I said earlier, it's a chance for, you know, a lot of people to come in and see the city. And, you know, I think it's great for the sport, especially around here. And I think, you know, you can see in the past years that there's been a lot of local players that have been, you know, selected in the NHL draft. And, you know, I've played with most of them. And I think it's been right around, you know, my age group that's been picked with, you know, Saad and JT and Steven Johns. So there's been some good players that have come through here, and I think that's you know, really good for the city and really good for hockey around this area.
Yeah, absolutely. And how did you actually get started into hockey? Was it something your dad started in, or how did you get started getting on the ice there?
I think it was because of my older brother. He started playing hockey when we were about 5 years older than me, and he started playing, and I think I just joined his team pretty much. They needed a goalie, and I wasn't the greatest skater, so I pretty much just went in goal for his team, and we just kind of grew up playing with each other. And, you know, eventually he was a year older than me, so we kind of got split off with the age group thing, but I'd say it was because of him that I started playing.
Now, you also have another teammate of yours, Ovi Bata, who is eligible to be drafted here. And tell us a little bit about him. I'm sure he helped you out a lot during this year. How big was he, not only for his own success, but for your success and the successful season here with London?
Yeah, he had a great season. He was huge for us in the playoffs, especially. He started, you know, showing his offensive upside in the playoffs, and you know, we knew what he could do. And you know, he might not have showed the offensive flash that he had during, you know, the regular season, but he was steady for us all year. And you know, he's coming down today, and I think we're gonna grab a bite to eat tomorrow together. And you know, I'm looking forward to him being drafted. I'd be surprised if he didn't go in the first round. And if he fell to Pittsburgh, I guess at what 22 it is, then I guess that'd be awesome if they could pick him up, because he's gonna be a great pro player.
All right, Mike, what's the worst part of Pittsburgh, the rain or the traffic?
Traffic.
This is awful, man. What are you doing? Just let the guy go.
All right.
Don't give him a hard time. Don't give him a hard time.
Michael, thank you for joining us on good luck at the draft this year.
All right, thank you.
You know, Michael Hauser from Westbrook, PA. Going to be pretty excited to see where he lands in this year's draft. If he could put up with us, he could put up with anything.
Let the man go.
Let him go.
Let him go. Leave him alone.
He's a clown.
He's a clown. We were the clowns in that one.
Yeah, we were. Absolutely. Definitely.
What a great guy. It was a great interview. Michael Hauser from London Knights. He was actually voted the OHL goaltender of the year. Pretty impressive, considering, you know, the fact that he didn't get drafted the first 2 years. He was eligible. That's kind of surprising to me. But I think the third time's a charm this time around. Third year here in his hometown. I got to think that Michael Hauser's going to get
someone's got to take a shot on him. Yeah, I mean, he won 46 games. Out of the team's
an OHL record.
Out of the team's 49 games they won. That's, I mean,
ridiculous.
He might as well win the Vezina.
I mean, you look at stats like that, and I don't think London would have been as successful without Michael Hauser. I mean, I think we can definitely make that argument. You look at the number of games that they won when he was in there. So I really hope that somebody takes a shot at him, because you don't want to see him get shut out in his own hometown, you know, like the first two times. So hopefully he gets picked, though. I mean, he seems like a great kid. He's still young, so I think he's 19 years old. So let's hope he gets picked.
Yeah, and if he doesn't, it's not the end of the world, and he could just prove himself.
Sure.
You know.
Well,
I hope it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, let's hope it's not.
Screw you, Mayans.
Getting a little bit back to the the awards talk. I wanted to talk about the Norris Trophy for a number of reasons. First of all, the nominees are Zdeno Chara, Erik Karlsson, and Shea Weber. Now, Zdeno Chara and Weber, they both have the offense and defense. Erik Karlsson, not so much, but you look at Erik Karlsson, what he did, 78 points for a defenseman, 19 goals, 59 assists, very impressive, 261 shots and goals. So clearly, this guy is pretty much all offense. Not all offense, but you definitely take Chara and Weber. They're definitely more defensive players than Karlsson. So I'm interested to see what you guys think about this one because, you know, Karlsson has a huge edge in the points department, but at the same time, you have to look at their overall game and their position, right?
Yeah, I mean, Jordan Staal might be more of a defensive player than Erik Karlsson. What a season, man. Just to go off like that as a defenseman, that's the scary stuff right there. And he just signed a huge contract today with Ottawa, and it's just, I mean, the thing that blows my mind the most about the Norris Trophy thing, though, is that Nick Lidstrom's not – his name's nowhere to be found on it, and that just seems so foreign to me.
Well, I definitely think you have to give credit to Erik Karlsson for putting up that massive amount of points. But at the same time, I can't give an award to him just because – I feel like the aspect of playing D in the positioning, the hitting, the back checking, all that stuff, it doesn't get measured by statistics. So you have guys that are often nominated for a Norris Trophy that really shouldn't be there. I mean, to be blunt about it, the guy that I always went back to was Mike Green. I mean, Mike Green has never been an effective defenseman ever. He's always been a liability for Washington Capitals in their own zone, but yet he's been nominated for Norris Trophy before. So I'm not putting Erik Karlsson in Mike Green's department. Karlsson is a much superior defenseman. But for me, I would give it to Zdeno Chara. And the reason, I think you can go 1A and 1AB with Weber. But with Weber, Weber's playing next to Ryan Suter or playing next to, Kevin Klein or a really solid player like that. But when you look at Zdeno Chara, not to put down any Boston fans here, but I'm sorry, but that defense outside of Zdeno Chara is really nothing home to, nothing really to write home about. Seidenberg's all right, but that defense is Zdeno Chara, and he did a really good job despite his age. He's getting up there in age well, so to me, I got to give it to Zdeno Chara, getting the more well-rounded player. You're getting both aspects of the game, offense and defense, and you're getting a guy that pretty much was the anchor of the team's total blue line throughout the entire season.
That's hard to argue, too. And a lot of these guys that win the Norris are guys that, at least have paid their dues in the league more than 3 or 4 years, too. So it's just another one of those things. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Chara. I think he's a phenomenal two-way defenseman. And I'm sure Ashley has an opinion on it, but for being such a Bruins fan, but how could you go against Zdeno Chara? This is a defenseman category, and I understand Carlson's a defenseman, but I mean his game's not nearly as well rounded as some of these other guys out there. But typically, this award goes to the most high scoring defenseman. It seems year in and year out, But at least Nick Lidstrom, they might as well just name the award after him. But at least whenever he would win it, he has that two-way ability. He's one of the greatest defensemen of all times, but he could score along with that. So is Karlsson there yet? I don't think so. Maybe down the road, if he can kind of adapt his game a bit, possibly. But this season, yeah.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you guys. Zdeno Chara, I think you got to go with the whole big picture here. I definitely give Karlsson.
I see what you did.
Oh, yeah, I see. I didn't even mean to do that.
Because he's big.
I gotcha. But like you guys said, I got to give a little bit of credit to Erik Karlsson because, those numbers are pretty crazy for a defenseman. But you think of what Chara does for that team. And like you said, Joe, there's not much after him on that blue line. So, he's a leader on that team, too. And he just does a lot of things for that franchise that, Carlson's a big, and Weber, for that matter, too. They're big for their teams. But I don't think they're as big as Chara. Certainly not in size. But speaking of Karlsson, Nick, you kind of mentioned it a little earlier. I wanted to talk a little bit about it real quick here. agreed to a 7-year, $45.5 million extension today. That averages about to about $6.5 million per season. I kind of threw this on Twitter earlier. Do you guys think that, you know, Chris Letang, he's still signed for a little bit longer, but do you think that this is kind of a sort of a standard for Chris Letang's new deal?
Well,
nobody wants to answer because it's scary.
Yeah,
it's
scary. That's true. I mean, that's the thing about it. It's, you know, I don't really think, and again, I don't want to like tie this whole thing, the Jordan Staal rumors and Malkin trade rumors and all of this sort of thing, but really at the moment, a lot of the stuff is kind of connected in this bizarre sort of way, because when you think about it, you have, okay, you know, Jordan Staal heading into a contract year this year. Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang, both of their contracts are up in 2014, which means they're going to be heading into contracts this time next year. Chris Letang's only making $3.5 million right now. He's going to want a very substantial raise. And, you know, if Pittsburgh doesn't want to give it to him, there's going to be 29 other teams that will. So, I mean, it's a scary thought, but I think, you know, to kind of answer the question in a really roundabout way, I think it does set the stage. I think what Shea Weber gets on his next contract is going to affect Chris Letang more, and I think that it all kind of builds up to this offseason and next offseason are going to define the way the Penguins are going to be for at least the remainder of this decade, and really kind of will be, you know, Ray Shiro's defining moment. I mean, a lot of people talk about Ray Shiro. He has his cult following and everything like that, and he does a lot of things great. I'm not putting down Ray Shiro or not saying that he isn't one of the best GMs in the league. He is. But contracts like this, when you look at what Erik Karlsson got and what they're going to pay him and the relevant, you know, presence that he has to the Ottawa Senators franchise, I just think, it, you know, you compare that to Chris Letang, Ray Shiro has his work cut out for him between now to next year. And if he doesn't hit it out of the park, the Penguins are going to be right back to consistent first-round losses for a long time. I'm not trying to be gloom and doom, but he really does have to, you know, give these contracts to these core players that he has, and really he has no room for error with them.
Yep, certainly going to be some tough decisions, but we'll have to wait and see, as we still have a little bit of time left for us, so we'll kind of put this issue off for a little bit, because we'll just enjoy Chris Letang right now.
Yeah.
Well, we're joined now by Scott Harrington, the Pittsburgh Penguins 2011 second-round draft pick. Scott, thanks for joining us, and how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thanks for having me on here.
Scott, it wasn't that long ago that you experienced what it's like to be in the draft. Take us through what players are going through those weeks and those days prior to being drafted. And what was that like for you, having just gone through that just a year ago?
Yeah, obviously, you know, it's an exciting time in that player's family's lives. And it was very exciting for myself and my family. And we really enjoyed the whole process. And, you know, it was a thrill to be selected last year by Pittsburgh.
Some of that process includes the combine. I'm sure you do a lot of interviews and stuff like that. It's pretty busy time, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's very hectic. And, you know, as hockey players, we have a short off season, and, you know, these guys are going through the combine and all the interviews. It's pretty stressful leading up to the draft. So I'm sure that they're all relieved that it's going to be over here Friday or Saturday.
Scott, the Pens drafted another defenseman in Joe Morrow the round before you. When they were ready to pick at number 54, did you think that it would actually be you, or were you kind of caught off guard a little bit since they just drafted a defenseman?
I mean, I think everyone's caught off guard when they're drafted, but, you know, I was hopeful whenever I knew that they were picking next, and, you know, I had my fingers crossed sitting there, but, you know, I guess you could say I was caught off guard, but more relieved and excited whenever I heard them say my name.
What was the team that you rooted for growing up?
Growing up, I was a Suns fan, just because they're the closest team to where I'm from, and all my family, we were all Senators fans.
Now, you were part of the World Juniors bronze medal-winning team in the 2012 World Juniors with Canada. How much of an honor was that to play in such a tournament, and what was the experience like for a developing prospect?
Yeah, it was a huge honor. I really enjoyed the experience playing for Canada, and anytime you can play for your country, it's a big honor and it's a thrill. And to be able to play at the World Juniors, I was very fortunate to get that opportunity. And you know, my family was out there supporting me, and they really enjoyed the whole tournament. And, you know, it's unfortunate we didn't win gold, but, you know, I still had a lot of fun winning bronze.
Now, you kind of turned a lot of Penguins fans' heads when you were selected to the World Juniors, because a lot of attention was on Joe Morrow, and he didn't make the team, and you did. What was that kind of like? Was that awkward between you two as guys in the same prospect pool? What was that kind of like?
No, I don't think it was awkward. You know, we're two different players, and he's more of an offensive guy, and I'm more of a defensive player. And, you know, they had a lot of great offensive guys trying out for that team and defensive also. So, I mean, we're both competing for a spot on the team, but, you know, the spots that we're competing for, I guess, were a little bit different. So, you know, it's unfortunate he didn't make the team, but, I wouldn't say it was awkward between us.
What did you learn? What was one thing you learned from playing in the World Juniors?
I don't know. I guess the biggest thing is just that you're, you know, mentally prepared every game, and every mistake is costly during the World Junior Tournament, so you just have to try and limit your mistakes, and I think that can really be applied well to the NHL because, you know, every mistake that you make at that level usually ends up in the back of your net.
Now, you're kind of known as a two-way defenseman. You kind of cover all the bases there. Maybe a little more defensive, but what's one area of your game that you feel is kind of underrated that a lot of people don't know about yet?
I don't know. Maybe my offensive game, I guess. You know, I think I'm more often recognized as a defensive player, but, you know, I try and chip in offensively whenever I can, and not necessarily, I guess, getting all the points, but, you know, just joining the rush whenever there's an opportunity, and I think that fits in well with the Penguins system.
Well, speaking of the system, the Pens' blue line is incredibly deep all the way throughout the organization. What are your expectations going in and trying to crack that blue line?
I think that they're the same as they were heading into my first training camp, just to, you know, focus on my game, and, you know, I'm not trying to put too much pressure on myself, to try to leave a good impression on the coaching staff and make their job hard.
When you were drafted to Pittsburgh, was it a concern that you were going to have to kind of fight over a bunch of guys to get, you know, your way up the depth chart, or was it a relief knowing that you're drafted by an organization that really prioritizes defense?
I think a bit of both. I think that, you know, I was happy to go to such a first-class organization as the Penguins, and, you know, obviously them being such a good team, I knew that they were going to have a lot of depth on the back end, and, you know, that's going to be a challenge for myself and, you know, the rest of the guys that aren't on the team full-time to try and crack the lineup and earn a spot, so... you know, it's good to have competition, and I think that increases the level of the team.
If you were an NHL scout, what would you say would be the biggest positive about Scott Harrington's game? What would be the biggest negative that you still have to work on?
I think the positive is just my defensive play and my hockey sense. You know, I think that allows me to be an effective player on both ends of the ice. Something to work on. I think, you know, everyone can work on their skating and just to, you know, get stronger and quicker, fly yourself to excel at the next level.
Is it tough when you don't get drafted in the first round? I mean, was there expectations that you would get taken in the first round, or were you just happy to be drafted where you were?
Yeah, I was just happy to be drafted. I mean, I didn't care if it was the first or seventh round. I just wanted to be picked by a team and give myself an opportunity to crack the team one day. So, you know, it wasn't a disappointment that I wasn't selected in the first round. I was just happy to go to the Penguins, and, you know, looking forward to the future from there.
When you're going into the draft process, I know you talked a little bit about this with Nick, but, I mean, the night before, I mean, is it more like a little kid on Christmas feeling where you're just so excited to get there and it's going to be one of the best days of your life, or is it something that you're really, really nervous about and you have a lot of apprehension about?
No, I wasn't very nervous. You know, I was in the hotel with my family, and you know, we were kind of talking about how it was out of our hands now, and, you know, there's nothing else that I could do, so we were just going to go and enjoy the next day as much as possible, and, you know, we had a great day and a great time at the draft, and it was a great experience for our family.
I know every kid growing up in Canada dreams of being an NHL player. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but when you were growing up, was there one particular player that you saw that, you know, kind of made you think, man, I really want to be just like him?
I don't know if there was one player. I was always a big Nick Lidstrom fan, but I think every defenseman is a Nick Lidstrom fan. He is, you know, such a world-class player, but I don't know. I just, like I said, I was a Sens fan, so I grew up watching, you know, all their defensemen, and I guess that was always my dream. So, yeah, but I wouldn't say there was one particular player that I wanted to play exactly like.
Well, Scott, I know that you got chosen for the World Junior Championships this year by Team Canada. That had to be a pretty big thrill for you to not only represent your country, but to play in such a big tournament like that.
Yeah, it was for sure. It was a tournament that I grew up watching every year with my family and friends, and it was kind of a dream to one day be able to play for Team Canada at the World Juniors, and to be able to get that opportunity this year as an underager was a huge thrill for me and a big honor.
I'm getting to this year's draft. You actually have a teammate, Ovi Mata, who you got a chance to play a lot with, another defenseman. Give us a little scouting report on what he could bring to an NHL team. He seems to be one of the top-ranked defensemen this year. So what could he really bring to an NHL franchise?
Yeah, Ovi, he's one of my good friends on the team, and you know, I think as many scouts know, he's a great player, and you know, for him, kind of the main thing in his game is you know, he's great defensively, and he's good with the puck. He's very smart, and he's pretty deceptive, and you know, he ran our power play in London this year, and I thought he did a great job coming over and adapting to the North American style game. So, you know, he's got a promising hockey career, and I'm sure that you know, any team will be lucky to have him this year.
All right, what's the worst hockey prank that you've seen done in juniors? I'm sure there's a lot of good ones down there that you're with the team all the time. But what's the best hockey prank that you've been a part of?
I don't know. We did quite a few pranks on our team this year. I remember we had one guy come up. He wasn't even on our team. He was just a call-up, and he was practicing with us one day. And I think our goalie took his skates and rubbed them against the concrete wall. And, you know, the kid couldn't even skate on the – couldn't skate. He had to leave the ice for practice. So, you know, he was pretty flustered and embarrassed, but we got a good kick out of it. And, you know, it was harmless.
Now when you're in training camp, do the veterans kind of give it to you guys a little bit, since you guys are the prospects and you're kind of sowing your oats there?
Yeah, a little bit. I remember last year after an exhibition game against Los Angeles, Joe and I had to sing happy birthday to the coach over the intercom on the plane. And, you know, that wasn't too bad of a prank, I guess, or rookie duty, I guess you could say. It was pretty fun and kind of lightened the mood, I guess.
Now, Pittsburgh's kind of known for a lot of its fine food establishments, like the Permane Brothers sandwich. Have you had a chance to try one of those yet?
No, I haven't. Maybe this year at development camp. I know last year they took us to a lot of great restaurants, and you know, any time we got a chance to eat a dinner on our own, we were always at the Cheesecake Factory, and but I'll definitely have to try one of those this week coming up.
What's your favorite pregame meal?
Chicken parm and pasta. It's pretty simple, but in London we've got a little pasta place, kind of a hidden gem in the city that a lot of us go to, and you know, we've been going there for 3 years before every single meal.
What's been your most memorable game that you have ever been a part of?
Most memorable? Probably my first exhibition game last year for Pittsburgh against Chicago. It was my first pro exhibition game and something that I'll never forget.
All right. And lastly, Scott, any words of advice for this year's draft class?
I'd probably just say, you know, have fun with it and not get too stressed out about it. You know, it doesn't matter which team you go to. You just want to get drafted and have an opportunity to one day crack the lineup. So not overthink it and just enjoy the experience.
Well, Scott, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
That was Scott Harrington, the Penguins' second-round draft pick last year. We'd like to thank Scott once again, and Michael, for that matter, for coming on the show tonight. We got about a minute left.
Yeah, it was like London Night Nation tonight.
I was going to say that. Two huge parts of that team. Harrington was an assistant captain, and obviously Hauser. We talked a little bit about his success this past year, so they wouldn't have won that OHL championship without those two guys, that's for sure. Harrington looks like a pretty good prospect with the Pens. We'll see what he can do this training camp, and we'll have to see what Michael Hauser, if he gets drafted, hopefully he will. But once again, I'd like to thank them, and thank you all for listening. It's been a great first 2 days here with Joe Morrow, Scott Harrington, and Michael Hauser. Certainly can't complain about that. We'll try to have some more guests on later in the week. We'll be on tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, and look for some giveaways too. So we're going to be heading into overtime here. So we'll be on again at 10 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll see you then on the Pens Nation radio show.
Hi, this is Doc Emmerich. You found the right place if you're a Penguins fan, the Pens Nation radio show. Just stay right here.
Ooh. I like that. That's like our overtime open.
Transition, baby.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Do you now?
Yeah. I mean, you gotta love Doc Emmerich, right?
Your mom has to. Just saying. And it was a pretty cool interviewing those guys today, by the way. It was just
yeah, they're cool guys.
Yeah, they take time out of their day just to kind of come on during the middle of draft week, kind of in their off season kind of thing, respectively, and it's kind of nice to hear kind of what goes on live, kind of in the flesh with Michael Hauser, like how kind of how he's feeling, kind of how the nerves are, and kind of here over the past 2 days we've talked to Joe Morrow. And now Scott Harrington, and kind of a year removed, kind of how placing them in that situation, like, okay, where were you a year ago? What advice would you give to these guys? And it's kind of cool to hear some of that insight and kind of offer some of that to those guys too. It was also fun to have Depto do his Yinzer voice with Hauser.
Hauser was so confused.
Traffic a rain.
He has no Yinzer accent whatsoever, by the way. He's got that kind of like pseudo-Canadian accent because he's been there for a few years now.
Yeah.
It's just kind of worn off on him.
Yeah, London's a great organization, a lot of great players. And I thought it was funny that the chicken parm, Scott Harrington, talking about Cheesecake Factory. He's going to be hungry.
I know, man. Permanis?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, it's on. Friday. Before we tailgate, Andy, we're hitting Permanis.
There's a Permanis opening by the Galleria out by me, and I'm pretty excited about that. So.
Oh, man, Andy's about to be 300 pounds.
I don't think so. Not going to be that big. I wouldn't go all the time, you know, but, I mean, I would definitely be going.
You say that now.
Oh. Yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah. Well, getting a little back to the awards, we talked about Evgeny Malkin, and I love the, you know, he did talk to the media today, and they asked him about the whole Crosby Staal and himself thing, and he said, "I hope the Pens sign me too. I want to stay in Pittsburgh. I love Penguins talk and the organization and the fans." That was a great quote by Gina there. I know you got a lot of love for that one. So let's hope he stays true to that. I know that that's a whole other ball game. We talked about Letang. Man, Malkin's going to want more than – obviously Malkin's going to get more than Letang. So a lot of stuff coming up here, but I thought that was good that Gino said something like that. He's a great guy. There's no doubt. A great player. You just hope that he's not one of those typical, you know, some of the European players that we've seen.
typical Philadelphia.
Not name dropping or anything. Jagger.
Those typical Europeans. Wow, well, we've introduced xenophobia to the Penn State series right now.
Oh, you know what I mean.
I think we know what you mean.
I don't know at all what you mean.
That came out wrong.
You think?
What's next? You're going to find weapons of mass destruction? Pull Drew Brees on it.
Drew Brees.
I think Malkin's going to want the same that Crosby wants, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And we don't know what that'll be, but that's good, though, if he wants the same thing, because I feel, you know, he has that respect for him, and they have respect for each other, which is good. So hopefully they do the same thing like they did the last time.
Yeah.
Taking the same salary. Looking at the some of the other awards, Jack Adams Award I think is pretty easy. Yeah, Ken Hitchcock, Paul McClain, and John Tortorella. John Tortorella is not going to get too many votes from the Pittsburgh fans here.
Why?
they whine about this stuff all the time, and look what happens.
We can actually play why they wouldn't want to vote for him.
That's true.
It's unbelievable.
Just no respect, none. Sickening.
I deserved that comment earlier.
Absolutely.
But I think this is a pretty easy one for me. I think Ken Hitchcock definitely deserves the Jack Adams this year. 49-22-11, 109 points for the St. Louis Blues, who kind of came out of nowhere and really had a slow start to the season, but just an unbelievable run after that. As soon as he came in, just kind of a immediate impact almost. And it was good to see the Blues go through the run. Didn't make it too far in the playoffs, but certainly got to give credit to Ken Hitchcock there.
I would give it to John Tortorella, I'll be honest with you. I think having that many young personalities mixed in with, you know, guys like Brad Richards and Mary Gabrick. And
they whine about this like stuff all the time, and look what happens.
They have so many young players and dealing with the New York media and the pressure of playing in New York City with the New York Rangers and all of that. I think handling that and still going to the point where they were almost President's Trophy winners, I think that to me, and consistency too, I think that is, you know, you factor in all those things. I would give it to John Tortorella. Not saying Hitchcock isn't deserving. I thought I would have gone with Dave Tippett, but he wasn't even nominated.
Yeah. What about you, Nick?
Man, Hitchcock's got to be the clear favorite. I mean, just what he did after kind of the Blues kind of floundered around for a bit. I mean, geez. Dave Tippett, I agree, would be a great choice too. Barry Trotz, always up there also. Just what he does with so little in Nashville outside of Weber and Rene. There's just no offense there, and every year the guy pulls out a consistently strong team. But, I mean, any one of those guys should be able to – they all deserve it, in my opinion. Maybe Guy Boucher.
Guy Boucher. Crosby is playing. Never forget that. Well, one bit of news that – well, I'm sure we're all happy about. We're all big fans of this guy. Teemu Selanne is going to be back. He has decided he's going to play another season in the NHL, and it's going to be with the Ducks. He said he wouldn't play with any other team, which is a shame because I know we've all wanted him to be on the Penguins at some point. Even now, I'd take him because he's still a really good player. Despite he's going to be 42 years old next month, but man,
Wow.
He's still good.
Yeah, he's ridiculously good still. And the guy seems to find a fun of youth every year. And just you think he's going to slow down, and he never really does. He just kind of keeps producing at a high rate. And he's just a joy to watch, actually. I'm really excited that we didn't lose both he and Nick Lidstrom in the same offseason. That would have just been traumatic. Not traumatic in a catastrophic kind of way for the league, but it would have been a big blow. With two of the classier, talented players in the entire league, because these guys both all world class players and just on and off the ice. Wow.
Anyone have anything to add to that?
Ashley?
That's not.
I still want to see where Yager ends up. I'm not even going to lie to you.
Who?
I'm still in,
you mean sucked into the Yager watch again?
You mean that certain Czechoslovakian?
That's who I was referring to earlier.
Oh, well, that makes it all right.
Yeah, that's kind of
the word certain instead of typical.
Yeah, that was the wrong word there, that's for sure. So I apologize to all the Europeans out there. That wasn't right. I was referring to you, Mr. Yager.
Or Rico Fata.
Yeah, just Rico Fata. But, the whole Yager watch thing, I don't know. I'm not falling for it this time. I really fell for it bad last time. But,
I hope he signs with Wheeling.
Wheeling Nailers. Yager.
They make him work his way back up the organization. I say Shiro signs him. Got to sign him to a two-way deal and just bury him in the minors.
You got to earn your way. Earn your way up here. Can you imagine that, like Jágr in the ECHL?
He would kill people. Anyway. But we have a casino here, so.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, maybe we could lure him in.
He would need some peanut butter, his own peanut butter. But his house is up in St. Clair, so I don't know. He obviously has enough money to get one in Wheeling.
And I'm sure he wouldn't mind paying someone to drive him to the casino every night.
Yeah. Jágr. And that's the one thing last year. I mean, the whole Jágr watch was just insane. It's such a hard fact to follow because now we're going to compare it. We're going to compare every offseason to that now. It's going to be like...
I'm trying to get that, like, that wand from Men in Black that could just erase my mind from all that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't surprise me that he kind of led Philadelphia on either. It's just what he does. It's like, yeah, I want to come back to Philadelphia. I loved it here, and kind of endears himself to the team. And guess what? The cup's over. You know, like, the award show is going to be done. The draft's going to be over. Free agency's going to hit. And guess who's going to want their name in the headlines?
Yep.
Same old song and dance. He's like Dominic the Italian Christmas donkey.
All right. An interesting reference choice.
That's my PG version of it right there.
At least you're keeping it PG.
Keeping it clean. You stay classy.
Stay classy, Pittsburgh.
Yeah, when Ken's not on the show, the show's fairly clean.
Ken's been he's been a lot of places. He's been calling from everywhere but his house, I think.
Anyone want to use an expletive to kind of make up for it?
Paul Martin? No? Okay.
Yeah, speaking of which, Ray Shiro had some interesting... You know, he said that he was probably going to move at least one defenseman before the next season. We kind of actually talked about that a little bit last night. We mentioned the name Ben Lovejoy. I think that that's a very, very good possibility, considering the depth of this that this team has. I mean, look at Letang, Orpik, Mahalik, Martin, Englund, Niskanen, if Niskanen signed. And
you guys, like... Seriously, he's not meaning he's going to trade them. He's literally going to rent a U-Haul and move them from, like, Sully to Upper St. Clair.
Clearly.
That's just, I mean, simmer down.
I don't think Lovejoy's going to be traded because I don't think anyone wants him.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why I mean, he's literally going to move him.
I didn't want to say that because I thought that sounded really mean, but...
It's the truth. He's not good enough to play in the NHL. It can cause spade to spade.
Yeah, well, like maybe.
I'll make all those Wilkes-Barre people mad.
Sorry, I insulted their minor league hockey team.
Did we just bring back the reincarnation of Cam Ward dinosaur noises? What was that?
Wah.
Jeez, do it again, Depto.
They whine about this stuff all the time, and look what happens.
They're whining.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, man.
All right, well, you guys want to land this? But before we do, we could play an oldie but a goodie.
I'm good with the classics.
let's hit a classic here. You guys vote 1, 2, or 3?
2. It was Empire Strikes Back.
Ashley, what do you think? 1, 2, or 3? We're taking a vote.
3.
All right. Andy, you're the deciding vote.
Taking 3.
All right. All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow night.
Hey fans, are you tired of hitting the snooze button multiple times a day every morning? Well, hit that snooze button no more the Pens Nation, in conjunction with a face-off actor, bring you the Ryan Mill Alarm Clock. Wake up to multiple different custom wake-up calls, such as Good Morning CEC! And this fan favorite, Hey Ben, get on your feet! It's time for your morning dunk! You can also set your Ryan Mill alarm clock to warn you prior to waking up. Ladies and gentlemen, there's 1 minute remaining to sleep. 1 minute remaining to sleep. You'll never want to hit that snooze button when you hear Ryan Mill scream at you to wake up!